great price. Abhay got married and went on his honeymoon, so 2 weeks before the conference and did not prepare a talk for it. So I'm the one giving the talk. As you know, the self-force per unit mass, the acceleration with respect to the background metric, is given in a Lorentz gauge by this perturbed geodesic equation. In computing the perturbed geodesic, one uses the renormalized perturbed metric. In a mode sum renormalization following Barak and Ori, one subtracts the angular harmonics and then uses as a regulator a cutoff in the label of the harmonics L. So we'll use L here both in talking about Kerr harmonics and Schwarzschild. L would still label the oblate spheroidal harmonics. Working in the framework of the Tucholsky equation for the component psi zero of the Weyl tensor, one has a source function constructed by the from the energy momentum tensor by taking a couple of derivatives and a second order differential equation for the gauge invariant psi zero, or equivalently for psi four. That gives you this component of the Weyl tensor, but one still has to reconstruct the metric from the Weyl tensor. And there's a prescription for doing that for finding H. That prescription is valid only in the vacuum. So you can use it outside the particle, but not at the position of the particle. It involves, because the Tucholsky equation involves a harmonic decomposition of the particle, you can do this for R greater than R0 if R0 is the position of the particle, for R less than R0, not at the radius of the particle, but in doing a mode sum renormalization in the Lorentz gauge, for example, one again computes the field for R greater than R0, for R less than R0, and takes a limit as R goes to R0 from above or below. So the prescription is formally similar after you do the subtraction. If you do a complete subtraction of the singular field, you have a psi zero component of the Weyl tensor that satisfies the source free equation. And for that renormalized Weyl tensor, then there is a field defined in a neighborhood of the particle. The reconstruction of the metric goes in two gauges called radiation gauges. I'll call this the LRG gauge to get around an ambiguity in the original terminology by Chernowski. It's a gauge that's similar to the Lorentz gauge. So if you think of taking the gradient of H alpha beta for something that, for a wave that's outgoing, you end up having the gradient of U. U is T minus R star at infinity, the outgoing null surface is a U equal constant surface. Its gradient is the outgoing null vector L, and the gauge condition is L dot H is equal to zero for a trace-free metric. So this goes in over into the Lorentz gauge for outgoing radiation. Chernowski calls it the ingoing radiation condition, and as we learned recently, although that seems perverse, it reflects a second perverse feature of this reconstruction of the metric, which is that the reconstruction, well, I'll tell you in a second, the reconstruction works via a Hertz potential, so four angular derivatives plus a time derivative of the Hertz potential is equal to psi zero, and that has an explicit algebraic solution for each harmonic. That solution is unique, and for people who are familiar with this, There's an alternative equation involving four radial derivatives. The solution to that is also unique, and the two agree. That's shown by Ori. We had an alternative proof of that with a minor error in it, and in looking up the minor error, found out that Ori had already proved it in 2003. The Ori reference. The reconstructed metric then has this explicit form. And this has exactly the asymptotic behavior that the Lorentz metric has, only this is for ingoing radiation. And the Lorentz metric has this behavior for outgoing radiation. So it's so that's peculiar, but it gives you this ambiguity. You can find a gauge transformation that explicitly takes the asymptotically flat Lorentz metric for outgoing radiation into a asymptotically flat, a nearby asymptotically flat metric for the for this gauge, but it's not this one. This is asymptotically flat and looks like the Lorentz conditions for the wrong assignment of ingoing and outgoing. All right, so in our method, we compute the retarded field from the Joukowsky equation as a mode sum. We find the potential from psi retarded with an algebraic solution for each mode. In a radiation gauge, these components of H retarded and its derivatives occur in the expression for F alpha. So we find these components, and then we compute the retarded expression for this self-force, or the acceleration from the perturbed geodesic equation, as a mode sum truncated at L max for R less than or R greater than R zero. We then compute the renormalization vectors A alpha and B alpha for this self-force per unit mass for the acceleration A. And we do this by noting that the retarded field has the same behavior for large L as the singular field. That is, one can regard the large L part of the power series in L for the retarded series, for the retarded field, as the singular field. So we determine the contribution to H in that way, and then find the retarded F alpha. And then subtract off these singular field found by matching numerical matching of this numerically constructed retarded acceleration expression. That gives the perturbed metric for the radiative part of the field, and then a minor extension of a theorem by Wald shows that this is unique outside the particle to within a change of mass and angular momentum, mass and spin of the black hole, together with gauge transformations. There are several parameters, six parameters it looks like, that one then has to determine: the change in M and the change in A as you cross the particle, and two angles for gauge transformation that looks asymptotically like a rotation for the change in spin direction, and finally a parameter for a gauge transformation corresponding to a center of mass change that removes an asymptotic dipole moment. We use this mode sum renormalization, as I mentioned. Let me look at it like this. In the Lorentz gauge, there's an expansion of the metric that has this form probably familiar to most of you. So the large L expansion looks singular. A smooth function has at large L an expansion that falls off faster than any power of L. So the power series in L represents the singular part of this field. If you take the first three powers over here and subtract them off, then you then that's equivalent to that subtracts off the singular field to the order needed to compute the self force. The orders in powers of L are the same for us as for a Lorentz gauge. One can construct the singular part of psi zero by taking two derivatives of the singular field in a Lorentz gauge. If you think of the two angular derivatives, that changes the power, increases the power of L by two. You then divide by four powers of L to get the Hertz potential, take another couple of derivatives, bringing back two powers of L, and get back to a retarded field for the radiation gauge with the same behavior with different coefficients in each line for the singular field. And finally, another derivative gives you the self force, again with the same powers of L as in a Lorentz gauge. The first three terms in the harmonic expansion of psi retarded determine the first three terms in this harmonic expansion. And one can find psi r from psi retarded. The argument in recovering the field and the self force renormalizes psi zero, gets you back to a vacuum field for which the metric exists in a neighborhood of the particle. But the diagram over here involves linear operations, and one can just as well compute the retarded field and the retarded acceleration as we've been doing, and that gives you, and then find the, then subtract off from the expression of the retarded acceleration its value. So let me now go to the results. Abhay finds singular parts analytically for the for psi zero, for its axisymmetric part. So this is a fairly substantial analytical exercise, and to extend it to the to finding the analytic renormalization of the self force would require hundreds of terms. But he finds that simply numerically matching the harmonic expansion of H retarded or psi retarded gives the expected agreement. So here's a table for the analytic coefficient A. The analytic coefficient B, it turns out to vanish for psi zero, and the errors range from 10 to the minus 1 part and 10 to the 9, it looks like, for small r0 over m to 10 to the minus 13 or 14 for most of this range. So close to numerical accuracy by just doing the numerical matching. Finally, in justifying the use of this perturbed geodesic equation, we use a result that I hope Sam Gralla will present tomorrow. So this is recent communication that somewhat strengthens the way we're stating the first paper, well, our two companion papers. So if you have a tensor in the neighborhood of the particle trajectory that's a candidate for the singular field, if H retarded minus the singular field is differentiable, H has even parity, and at each point in the trajectory, the angle average of the self force constructed from this singular field vanishes, so that the singular field does not contribute to the self force in this sense, then the renormalized self force is given in this gauge by this prescription that we've been using. So we were looking to for a justification of this prescription. We had some arguments, but certainly not a formal proof, and this appears to do it. So then the first order perturbative correction to the geodesic of the background spacetime is given by a connecting vector z that satisfies this. So this is my formulation of it, but I ran it past Sam to check that this was, in fact, what he was claiming. So I believe that this result is in place. And then one has this formula for the self-force. And finally, Abhay's computation of the self-force checked, so we checked this before we learned of Sam's result, because it was clear that to justify this, we needed to say that the singular field we were using by subtracting off the first three terms in this renormalization expansion was genuinely subtracting off the self-force. And that means that we had to know that those first three terms do not contribute to the self-force. Well, the remarkable thing is that the first three terms for this particle in circular orbit are, as in the Lorentz gauge, proportional to 1 over rho. So let me show you the table. I've truncated 82 out of the 85 entries in the table. So here's the first one, the middle one, and the final entry. And you can see that here's the value. So if we look at the third renormalization coefficient vanishes, these are the first two, and we have to check that the ratio of the first two are exactly what you get from the gradient of 1 over rho. And the ratio, so we look at the ratio of A to the A that you get from grad rho, and that looks like this. The ratio of B to the B that you get to grad rho is exactly equal up to, looks like about 20 orders of magnitude. And the and so here's the so here's the ratio of the two, and the coefficient is exactly the value of F, 1 minus 2m over r0. So we have not done what, as far as we can tell, involved 300 terms to analytically compute this, but the answer is just F times grad rho, grad 1 over rho for the singular part of the of A. So it's a very simple answer. It would be nice to have a simple proof, but we've done this numerically. We don't know where to get a simple proof from it, but it's a kind of remarkable a remarkable result. And then I just note that there's a simple argument for the parity part of the field to establish that, in fact, it looks like even parity. So we do justify the use of this renormalization procedure in a radiative gauge. That's it.